Paul told us to discern the body of Christ so that we could receive the benefits that taking communion has for us. See, he said the only reason that Christians are sickly and die earlier among you are because they don't discern the body of Christ. So if there's that, then there's an anti. So if we do discern the body of Christ, we can expect healing and wholeness in our bodies. Jesus told his disciples, take this, you're taking my life into you. Those guys seen him walk on water. They'd never ever seen him sick. They seen him raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and all multitudes of miracles. Can you imagine the excitement that they had when they said, we're going to take this guy's life into us? That's what we're doing. We're taking the Zoe kind of life into us when we partake of the communion. So we look at this bread and we see the type of Jesus in this. This is his body. This bread is made without yeast. Jesus was perfectly sinless on this earth. He never sinned once. This bread is beaten and bruised. He was beaten and bruised for us. And this bread has stripes in it. And it's by his stripes that we were healed. Also, it's pierced. Everywhere that Jesus' body was pierced, he shed blood. And wherever he shed blood, we got redemption in our lives in that area. Also, this bread is slightly burned. That means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment. The judgment that was meant for us was laid on Jesus when he was on his cross. So now, we can stand in God's presence as if nothing ever happened, because you've been made a new creature in Christ. And his body was broken. So we're taking this for our healing, our wholeness. We want your life in us. Jesus shed his blood all over the place. Not only did this blood completely remit our sins, I mean, it took it all away. He made us the justified of God. We are justified. Justified, never sinned. We're justified freely by his grace. And we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now we can go boldly into the throne room of grace because of the shed blood of Jesus, and we can receive help from him in times of need. We thank you for this. We have a short clip about the martyrs we're going to show here before the children can go to children's church. I got you. You got to stay here.
My name is Jeanette. I am a Christian and I love Jesus with all my heart. I love my children and I love the people of my country, the Central African Republic. There are both Christians and Muslims in my country, and we lived as neighbors as I worked to reach them for Christ. But my hope for a peaceful life didn't last. Our village was ambushed by the Islamist attackers. Guns started firing and we started running as fast as we could into the bush. All the Christians in my village were killed or driven into hiding. I fled with my children. We didn't even have time to put on our shoes or clothes.
Attacks like these have been targeting Christians in the Central African Republic for 8 years and continue today. Churches and missionary stations that have been built over decades have been destroyed, along with Christians' homes that have been burnt to the ground. In one area, the only structures that remained were the metal roofs of two churches. Thousands of Christians have spent years in makeshift temporary shelters far from their homes, as the violence and instability continues. Delivering desperately needed help to displaced Christians often means overcoming impassable roads, using cargo planes, trucks, motorcycles, bicycles, and even canoes. With God's help, supplies are making it to Christians scattered throughout various camps. Today, Jeanette and more than 30,000 Christians in the Central African Republic have been driven from their homes, all because of their faithfulness in maintaining a witness for Christ in majority Muslim areas, in the face of severe Islamist violence. These courageous believers, our Christian brothers and sisters in the Central African Republic, have shown God's love and forgiveness to their persecutors. They continue to faithfully follow the Lord and trust Him to meet their needs.
Okay, I guess now we can have children's church. Open up your Bibles to John chapter 17, verse 16. I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for this privilege to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we thank you for everything that you do for us. And we thank you for everything that Jesus is to us. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that has been given us to teach us, guide us, and show us how to rightfully divide your word. Father, we ask you, as we look into this word, our hearts would be open. It's because you've given us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. We'll receive what we need to receive from it and stand in faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes it's hard to keep your wits about you and keep your soul intact when things are going chaotic in the world and things around you are going chaotic. But did you know that the presidency before Trump, we had a God who was good to us? He was our God in the valley. And then when Trump got elected, he was our God on the mountaintop. I want you to know he hasn't changed. You know, this election isn't over, but the thing is, however it goes, he's still your God and Jesus is still King. Amen. Sometimes you got to look things square in the face. Now go to John chapter 17. I'll get over there real quick. You're probably there. John chapter 17, verse 16 says, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into this world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they shall all be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these I have known, that thou hast sent me. We are in this world. We are not of this world. You belong to a different kingdom. Regardless of who the president is, God is your Father, and Jesus is your King. Amen. You know, sometimes you get to have these little altars, and you got to remember these little altars in life that goes on. You know, before Obama got elected, the oil field was booming, and I was raking in all kinds of cash. It was a wild time. Obama got elected, the economy crashed. Everybody was running around pouting, and everybody was broke. Everything was bad. And they said, well, what are you going to do? Well, I bought a new pickup and found me a new wife. What do you mean, what am I going to do? I'm going to keep trusting God. You know, God can prosper you regardless of who the president is. Do you know God can protect you regardless of who the president is? He is above any president that has ever lived. Amen? Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. There's politicians that are making some pretty evil threats. But you're going to have to stand on these scriptures. Amen? There's three things you need to remember as an American Christian. Number one, God is your Lord. Number two, you do have a constitution. And number three, you better have a rifle. If you don't have one, go buy one and I will show you how to shoot one. But look, regardless of what any idiot in Washington has to say, God has our back. God will never leave you. He won't. I'm reminded of a story that happened during World War II. There was a lady living in Britain. That she was a spirit-filled Christian. And the war started out, and Hitler was going crazy. And she was praying in tongues and praying in tongues and praying in tongues. And she said, you know what, God? The Bible says that you never sleep nor slumber. So there's no sense in both of us staying awake all night praying about this. So I'm going to go to bed, and you take care of this thing at night. All of the buildings around her house were completely destroyed. Her house was just fine. A thousand may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. Look, we're going to have to get our tongue in order. And I'm not talking about bad mouthing whoever might be in control of the White House or the House of Representatives or the Senate. I'm talking about get your mouth on the Bible, on the Word, and start focusing on that. Amen. You know, Peter was walking on water. He was walking on water. He's doing pretty good. But he got his eyes off of Jesus, and he started looking at the wind and the waves. And I'd say Kamala Harris and Joe Biden would be wind and waves, wouldn't you? But Jesus is still the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And if we focus on Him, we're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We're going to walk on that water. We're going to go above the circumstances, and we're going to shine. Amen? God will never leave you. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Look back on your life and remember the hardest thing you ever went through. Look at all the hard things you looked back, you went through in your lifetime. All the disasters, all the different presidencies, all the different things that happened, all the tragedies, all the death, and then stop and think about it. God has a 100% track record of bringing you through hard times. None of those hard times ever killed you. He brought you through all those hard times. And He's the same God today as He was yesterday. And He's going to be the same God tomorrow as He is today. He never changes. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Now go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Right hand of the throne of God. Talks about our need for patience. And it showed us how to do this. It says to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's what we're supposed to be looking at. Jesus. If you look at the mainstream media, you're going to go crazy. You know, you go looking around on the internet for something, you're going to go crazy. It's going to bug you. You go to the coffee shop, it's going to bug you. Look unto Jesus. Amen? I'm not saying don't be mad. The Bible does say be angry and sin not. Be angry and sin not. I mean, you don't get to switch roles now. Remember how the Antifa brats and all them went crazy after the last election? We don't do that. We cast our eyes on Jesus. We do pray. But we have patience, not panic. Not panic. There's too many people panicking right now. The Bible tells us that the devil walketh about roaring as a lion, seeking whom he may devour. Say this out of your mouth so your ears can hear it. My name is not whom he may. My name is not whom he may. You're not devourable. You're a whomsoever from the tribe of Judah. You belong to Christ, the one that defanged the devil. Remember, the Lord with you equals success. You can watch the stock market. This is almost hilarious. But these guys panic and then they revive. And then they panic and then they revive. What do I mean? They sell off. They hear this guy's getting elected, they sell off. Panic, stock market crashes. Then they hear something else. Oh, this is good news. And they, what are they doing? They're basing their life. They're putting their confidence in a man. As much as I like Trump, you can't put your confidence in a man. You have to put your confidence in God. Remember, Abraham became fully persuaded that God was able to do what he had promised. So we can't put our trust in a man, but also you can't put your confidence in a man being able to destroy you. See, people get kind of flaked out about this. They think, okay, Trump's our president, everything's going to be all right. And they say, okay, well, it looks like Biden's going to be president, nothing's going to be okay. Since when did the White House become the throne of God? God can prosper you regardless of what's going on around the world. Look at Genesis chapter 39, verse 2. I mean, it was tragic. This guy's life was destroyed. You know, Joseph, he was kind of the favorite kid. And Isaac made him a coat of many colors. And his brothers said, this dreamer, who does he think he is? You know, they treated him poorly. They threw him in a well. My brothers used to pick on me bad, but they didn't throw me in a well. Yeah. And then they sold him into slavery. And he ended up in jail, in a prison, in a country he knew nobody. He had no money. He didn't even have a shirt on his back. He had nothing. Nothing. He didn't even have any prospects. He was just in jail. He didn't even get one phone call. He was down and out. But look at this. 39 verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. God with you equals success. And he will never leave you nor forsake you. Regardless of the circumstances around you. Regardless of the financial climate around you. Remember, I told you at the start of this COVID thing that God would prosper you. If you would let him, you got to get out of his way and cooperate with him a little bit. How do you mean get out of his way? Stop being afraid. Amen. You're going to have to cast your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. That doesn't mean that things around me don't irritate me. It really irritates me when socialists and Satanists are running their mouth. That irritates me to no end. But regardless of what those guys do, God is still my God, the Lord God. And Jesus is still my King. And just the fact that He is with us means it's okay. Amen? He was a slave, but how in the world did he become a successful man? Second only to the Pharaoh. You know, sometimes people, you know, sometimes they weave when they should have wobbled. I mean, people crash sometimes. We all have. And we've ended up in places where, man, this could be the end. Yeah. I mean, sometimes we just end up in some bad spots. But how you behave in a cave is how you're going to come out the other side. And it'll determine on when you come out the other side. A lot of people will just give up, curl up and play possum and say, I can't do this. I don't want to do this no more. This is just too much. I give up. Just do whatever you got to do. I got news for you. The devil's not going anywhere. Did you know that? There's people that have given up, and there are generations of them that have given up. And the devil's still there. And they're still not doing anything. Did you know they have the same access to the Bible, the Constitution, that we do? Yeah. They can have the same things that everybody else has. The challenge is, are you willing to get up and do something for it? So you're going to have to get up. Yeah, you're going to have to believe the Bible. You're going to have to confess the Word. You're going to have to get your mouth in order. You're going to have to confess His Word and do some things there. And a pair of leather gloves and work boots ain't going to hurt you. Some people might get in shape. I'm not picking on people, but some guy, there was a guy the other day, he said, man, how old are you? He were at Stone Village, and I was running around trying to get some kind of a snack so I could hurry on back to work. And he said, how old are you? I said, I'm 52. And he said, man, you move around like you're 30 or 20. I said, well, I'm in a hurry. He said, yeah, but you move around like you've just been active. And I said, I can't do that. And I said, well, how old are you? And he said, 53. I said, do you know? He said, but you just must have had a good life. I said, dude, I beat my body half to death. I got stuff that's been broken so bad for so long. If I sneeze wrong, it might fall off. Seriously. Get in there and believe God as your healer. And get your mouth moving, and get moving. It's not every day I feel good like that. I mean, I get up in the morning and I think, oh my God, be careful. Get moving, but get moving. The heel of the Lord, heel man will get moving, get rolling. You're just going to have to let it rock. Amen? Go to Genesis chapter 41, verse 40. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word, all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than you. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. And he arrayed him in vestures, fine linen, put a gold chain about his neck, and made him to ride in the second chariot, which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without you shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. That's pretty much in control of stuff. A pretty high and lofty place. So Joseph survived all of that stuff. All of that stuff his family put him through. He survived all of the stuff, being in prison, being lied about. He survived all that stuff because God was with him. But God had a plan. He had a plan. It ended up being a drought in Joseph's homeland. And there was nothing to eat. And Isaac started sending kids down to Egypt. And Joseph was able to save Israel. And Israel was able to become a great nation. There was millions of them. Remember, God told Abraham, as you look up at the stars of the sky, and that's how many descendants you're going to have. Count them if you can. And all of a sudden, there were millions of them in the land of Goshen. And they had the blessing of God on their life. The Egyptians said, man, these guys are reproducing. They're going to outnumber us. They said, what do we do? And they said, I don't know, but these women, they don't even have birth pains in childbirth. So they just have babies fast, fast, fast. Well, don't act like that's something that you can't claim just because it's in the Old Testament. My boss told me, he said, you're going to watch out for my wife. I said, I don't know nothing about having no babies. Just let me drive truck. He said, no, you're going to the hospital. I said, now, I'll go pray for her, and then I'm getting out of there. So he did. Said, she's going into labor. So prayed for her, and I got out of there. I said, I ain't having no part of that. I said, well, how'd it go? And he said, the doctor couldn't even get his gloves on. It took 5 minutes. She had that baby. You can claim the word of God for yourself, and you can claim the word of God for somebody else, but you got to get active in it. You got to do the do. You got to get your mouth in gear. I mean, you got to wake up. You got to get that word out in the atmosphere. Jesus said, you do the asking, I'll do the doing. Amen? Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, and I'll shut her down on this one. This will be the last one. I got a lot more notes, but we're running short on time. Regardless of anything that happens, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God in you is greater than any policymaker that has ever hit Washington. Amen? Doesn't mean there's not going to be trouble. Jesus said, be of good cheer. See, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. As he is now, so are we in this world. You must believe the love that God has for you. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. for everything that Jesus has done for us in his death, burial, and resurrection. We thank you, Father, for everything that Jesus is doing for us right now as our high priest, as he makes intercession for us, as he takes our prayers and makes them perfect for you. We thank you for this. We thank you for everything that Jesus will do when he takes us out of here and makes our salvation complete in Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, we have quiche. I don't know how to spell it, but it's good. Come back and have some. And cookies. Quiche and cookies.